Well, I was having a quick dinner tonight at my favorite Greek restaurant here in Los Angeles, and the general manager of the facility, his name's Dionites, and D had just come back from Greece, and he was telling me that they have elevators there that are about, now picture this, 4 feet by 4 feet, okay? Just kind of like if you're walking around in your house, step off 4 feet by 4 feet. That's a pretty small elevator. Three people were in it, and he was going up, and guess what? It gets stuck. It's hot, no air conditioning, 4 feet by 4 feet, three people, and they're in there for hours. He loses it. He can't stand it anymore. He's gone crazy inside this elevator. He's shaking, he's sweating, he's screaming, and he's just completely lost it, completely lost it. He's not himself. Finally, they get them out, and he was so rattled, it must have taken him weeks to get better. I bet he couldn't wait to get back to the United States, where, of course, he promptly got stuck in another. No, I'm kidding, but he couldn't. You know, I've never been stuck in an elevator, and I hope I never am, because that's got to be a bizarre situation. I have heard of a situation where a guy got stuck in an elevator in a building I'm very familiar with, and he pushed the button. I guess they have one of these phones in the elevator, and he picked it up, and a security guard down there picked up the phone. And this guy was so far out in left field, he said, okay, thanks. This is a security guard now. He hung up and went back to sleep. The guy was stuck in the elevator for about four more hours, and then they finally came and got him out and saved him. But what a story that was. Hey, let's go through some stories of the day, and then we'll open up the lines. I'll tell you about the Truckers Hotline. There is a special reason for that. In St. Petersburg, Florida, a 93-year-old driver, apparently suffering from dementia, fatally struck a pedestrian, then continued driving through a toll booth with a man's body on his windshield. Well, the fellow's name is Ralph Parker of Pinellas Park. He drove for 3 miles after striking the 52-year-old pedestrian with his gold 2002 Chevrolet Malibu. He severed the man's right leg in the process. A toll taker on the Sunshine Skyway saw the body stuck through Parker's windshield and notified police. Well, Parker was hospitalized overnight with minor scrapes. He was expected to be taken to an elderly care facility. They don't think they're going to charge him with anything, but I do hope they take away his privileges to drive. Can you imagine that, driving 3 miles with somebody stuck in your windshield? Reminds me of a case a couple years ago where a woman hit someone, and he went through her windshield. She pulled into her garage, didn't tell anybody, knew about it, and he died in there. Wouldn't take him out. Australian authorities have apologized to the family of an elderly man who was given a parking ticket while he lay dead in his car in a suburban shopping center. The 71-year-old man, known to be seriously ill, went missing for 9 days, and his body was found in his car in a shopping mall. A parking ticket had been placed on the car the day before his body was found. He was in there, sitting there. Oh, my gosh. And listen to this. A woman goes to the store, picks up a pork loin, comes home and cooks it. One of her family members takes a chomp out of it and is chewing on a bullet. Absolutely. They think what apparently happened is somebody shot at a pig. Now, the Wisconsin Pork Association, where this happened up there in Wisconsin, says professional slaughterhouses don't shoot animals. But somebody somewhere must have shot this pig, and the bullet obviously still in the pig. And the lady was able to get a $10 refund from the store she bought it from. And she said this, and this was a touch of class. She says she doesn't plan to sue because no one got hurt. Now, that's a switch, isn't it? Now, if you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, do me a favor. Under feature article, you might have to hit your refresh button. Look at the walking through the glass picture and just hit the video clip and take a look at this thing. It'll take you a few minutes. It is by far, and I talked about this yesterday, there's a magician, his name's Chris Angel. By far the most strange, magical act I have ever seen, and I can't figure it out. And if any of you can, please send me a fast blast, because assuming that the video's not doctored, and I don't think it is, how in the world did this magician do what he did? And you can see that. It's a video clip called Walking Through Glass. It's right there on their feature article at coasttocoastam.com. Now, we've got open lines for you. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. A couple weeks ago, I got an email from a truck driver who said, "Hey, George, it's about time for a truck driver hotline, isn't it?" We have come across all these stories. So let's do that tonight. Tonight, I'm going to reserve a line just for truck drivers to call in on strange things that you've seen on the road. You know, we've had all kinds of stories, angel intervention, ghosts on the side of the road, helping people, just strange situations, bizarre accidents. That number for you, just truck drivers. This is your night. 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie. Open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, he's back. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and we've got open lines for you all night long now. So let's start by going to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Andy from Seaside Park, New Jersey.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. I'm calling as a former large snake owner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Several years ago, I purchased at a local pet shop not a python, but a Venezuelan boa constrictor.
Now, how big was it when you got it, and how big do they get?
It was about 8 inches long.
Okay.
And that was my first question to the pet store owner. How big is this snake going to get? And he said, their size is limited by the space that you keep them in. He said this snake could live out its life very happily in a 50-gallon tank. So I said, okay, that sounds good. And I got a 50-gallon tank, and I proceeded to, feed the snake first what they call pinkies, which are like baby mice. And then as he got bigger, he got mice, and then he got rats. And as time went on, it became clear that this snake was not going to be happy in a 50-gallon tank. Line that the snake will, the snake's size will be limited by its environment, a myth, because this snake was getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and soon threatened to burst right through the 50-gallon tank. So it was clear that I couldn't keep him anymore. I was fortunate in that I was able to find a pet store that would take him. And I don't mean buy him. They would take him.
Just give it away, right.
Yes. It's not easy to find such a pet store, by the way. And it just so happened that this pet store dealt in a lot of exotic animals. And he actually had a room in which he had half a dozen or so large snakes, and that was like in a separate part of the of the store, and he put the snake in the room with his other large snakes. But I think that perhaps pet store owners are perhaps either ill-informed. I wouldn't like to say that they're deliberately misinforming the public, but anyone who wants to buy a snake that's going to get big ought to be aware that if he's going to the responsible owner of this animal, that he's basically going to have to build a room on his house.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, seriously, because a lot of these animals
throw grandma out and put the snake in.
Yeah, a lot of these animals are actually tree snakes, and they they want to climb up, and for in order to once they outgrow your tanks, no matter how big your tanks are, you're going to have to do something with them. And since you can't let them run through the house, you're going to have to build them a room.
I'm curious, why did you buy a snake? I mean, you can't walk it. It won't go get your slippers. So why'd you buy a snake?
Well, I'll tell you, I was living in a house in which I really wasn't allowed to have pets. And I was living alone, all right? And I'll tell you the truth, I bought the snake because it was nice to just have another living thing in the apartment with me.
Okay.
It was full-blooded, you know?
All right, well, that makes sense. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye, George.
Appreciate your call. I would have bought one of those big furry tarantula spiders or something like that. Next up, let's go to our west of the Rocky. I'm kidding, Steve. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George?
Yes.
Hi, it's Marianne.
Hi, Marianne. Sounds like you're in a party.
No. Oh. I'm just glad I got you.
Did you?
Yeah, I emailed you also about I don't know if you got my email or not, about a ghost problem that I was having.
I don't know if I've looked at it. When did you send it?
Early last week.
No, then I did not get it.
Didn't get it.
No.
Okay.
I would have looked at it way before then.
Okay. Well, I...
Can you turn your radio down? Is that me in the background?
Here, let me turn this down here.
Turn that down. Turn your radio down.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
All right. Well, I have this this problem with spirits and with ghosts following me around. Now, I go into a home. You know, of course, the parents ask me first. Because their child is getting harmed by, by a spirit.
What do you mean by harm? What was it doing to
them? Tearing up the, little boy's room or...
Oh, scaring the heck out of the kid, I'm sure.
Yeah, really scaring the child. And they asked me for help, and I go in the house, and I'm able to get the ghost out of their house. I'm able to know the name of the ghost, who they are, male, female,
You're not Marianne, my Ghostbuster guest, are you?
Yeah, That's what I wrote on the top was like Marianne.
Her, but you're not her. You don't sound like her.
No, but I've got this.
This is weird. A guest calling in on open lines.
It's strange. It's a strange thing I've had all my life, and I go in these homes and I can get them to leave the house, and I know everything about them. Know if they're good or bad. Where they're located at.
How do you get them to leave?
I tell them, I do a chant and tell them to leave the home and leave the child alone, and they need to move on, and they leave. But the only problem is they follow me.
Oh, you get attached, huh?
Yeah, they really follow me a lot.
So you take them all with you wherever you go?
Yeah, and then I have to cleanse myself and try to get them to, leave me alone.
You must be the Pied Piper of the ghost world.
Well, they sure are sensitive to me, or attached in some way.
Have you ever had an evil spirit attach itself to you?
Yes, I have. I've had quite a few. It's not fun.
It's scary. Have you ever felt like your life was in danger because of them?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah, and I'm real sensitive to all that stuff. And like I said, I've had it happen to me all my life. And I don't even have to be, go into a house. Even our own homes have had spirits before.
So how do you feel about this? I mean, do you feel good about this in as much as you take a spirit away from a home and obviously you cleanse it, you make them feel better, but your life becomes a living hell? How do you feel about this?
Well, I feel good about, especially the children, helping the families, but when they attach them to me, I just wonder why, what it's about. And that was the question was, why are they doing this to me all my life?
And also, they probably have no other place to go, and they have found you, and they've now attached themselves to you.
Yeah, because like Marianne, just like Marianne, I can talk to them, and they ask for help, but, they just follow me around, and then, finally have to cleanse myself, and, they leave finally, but it takes a long time.
Yeah, for some reason, you just don't sound strong enough to be able to fight them off. You're strong enough to get rid of them from these houses, but... not to get rid of them from you. Hey, our trucker hotline is ringing. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Where are you?
I am in, actually, right now I'm in Connecticut.
All truckers must verify by the sound of their horn tonight.
You got plenty.
Okay, there you are. You're legit.
Okay. Years back, I don't know if you remember something about a a satellite, a pager satellite that fell out of the sky?
No, I don't remember that one.
Okay, I was delivering some soda up to Rutland, Vermont, and the road that I was on, it was it's a windy road, it's a two lane road.
All right.
Backwoods road, and I'm going up. I go up there, I deliver the soda, I come back down, and I'm in the middle of the woods going through, and there's a northbound milk tanker heading the other way. Well, the whole sky lit up blue, and you could see into the woods. It was so bright. It was incredible. And I got on the CB radio, and I talked to the milk tanker driver going the opposite way. He goes, huh, you see? He says, well, it must have been a transformer or something like that. Well, by the time I had gotten down into almost the Mass border, which is, 2 hours away, I heard two other guys talking about a blue flash in the sky. Well, I had gotten home that night, fell asleep, woke up next night. I'm hearing two guys talking about a blue flash that had gone over the top of New Jersey, and they were hauling bark mulch. Well, I guess from what I understand, it was a pager light.
Now, what kind of a light?
It was blue, like when something's burning into the atmosphere.
Right.
And it was so close, George, it the hair stood up on the back of my neck.
Because to me, it would have sounded like some kind of meteorite or something, but that it was very, very big.
It was huge. This was a few years back, and I had heard on the news that it was something to the effect of some satellite that had come burning back into the atmosphere. But I tell you, it was creepy because you're in the middle of nowhere, and when you could see through the woods, it was really creepy.
That's really something, how something, even though some satellites are very big, how it can create that kind of light during reentry into the atmosphere. That is something.
And where I was, it's up in the ski resorts up in Vermont, up Okemo up that way, and you're up on top of these big hills. And like I say, when it went over, whatever it was that went over, it lit everything up, and it was like a transformer blowing out.
Right. Like a light like that. Plus, other truckers saw it.
Yes. Yes. And then I'm hearing these guys that had seen it in New Jersey, and and here I was in Vermont, miles away. But very bizarre.
I tell you, you guys are the eyes and ears on the ground, at least pilots up there in the air. By the way, here's another thing you need to look at so much on the coasttocoastam.com website. A picture sent in by Shane. He took a little picture of his little child, and after he looked at the photograph, he couldn't believe it. You know what? And I've been looking at this thing all night. There, in the background, you see the little kid right in the crib. In the background, you will see what he thinks is a ghost girl, and it really is spooky. These little kid ghost things are spooky to me. I don't know why, but he writes to us, and there's a story there that his little son will act as if she, the ghost, is around no matter what he's doing. He just has that perception, the little kid does, to know that the ghost is there. So if you get a moment, get up there and take a look at the email picture that Shane sent us at coasttocoastam.com. You'll see that, and that looks pretty darn legitimate to me. I'll be back in a moment. I'm going to check my fast blast in a moment to see if anybody has come up with a reason why that magician can walk through glass, because that's strange too. Well, I get a lot of fast blasts tonight, people wanting to know, where's the Digicam picture of the night? Well, I'm not going to use it every night. I'm not going to spoil a good thing. Just every once in a while, we'll put something up there. We'll take shots of the studio, little shots of me working, the staff, guests that come in and out, and some other things. But I'm not going to do it every night, because then it'll get old and you won't want to look at it anymore. The After Dark newsletter, that's something you want to look at time and time again. Matter of fact, you get one every month. And what we're doing this time is giving you a free CD that you can keep forever. It's called Perfect Possession. It's about exorcisms. An Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin. You can get it by calling this number 24 hours a day, 1-888-727-5505. 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at Coast2TO, coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
This is Lori from Steubenville, Ohio.
Lori, what is going on in Steubenville, Ohio?
Well, I wanted to know if you or any of your listeners experienced what happened to me a couple of weeks ago.
What was that?
I fell asleep on the couch, and I woke up in the middle of the night to this really strong, clean odor. I mean, it was really strong, and it was a clean that I've never really smelled before, like just a really strong soap.
You've been doing a nice job around the house.
So the odor lasted about a minute, and then it went away. And then I felt this vibration enter through the bottom of my feet, and it went all the way through my body and exited through my head. And then the smell came back again. Lasted a minute, went away, and then the vibration started again. This went on for about a half an hour.
Did you have a dearly departed one who might have, had that kind of freshness smelled to them?
No.
You did not?
Mm-mm.
No. Rule that out.
Really different. And then I laid there thinking, I was too scared to get up, but I laid there thinking maybe somebody's trying to tell me something. So after about a half an hour of this, I did get up and I checked on my kids. They were fine. And then I went into the bedroom and I went in bed and the smell had followed me. And I was laying on my side and I could feel like the vibration start to enter my feet,
again,
but it couldn't go any further. And then the smell came back, and it went away. And after the third time that it had come back, I yelled, "Stop it. Leave me alone so I can go to sleep." And then it quit. It never came back.
That is strange.
I know.
Except I would say the fact that it was a pleasant smell.
Right.
It couldn't have been that evil, that bad, whatever
right.
it was.
Right. And that's what I was telling myself when I was laying on the couch. I thought, at least it's a good smell and not a foul smell.
Yeah. That's,
you know,
not
but,
bad
but
with
I was
that.
Scared to death, and I just wanted to know if anybody else has had this happen.
Well, we get people who call us, you know, they have the smell of roses and things like that from the people in perfume. Let's say grandma used to wear a certain perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma always used to put too much on, though. Remember that? But
right.
But people would right. do that. But no, yours is a little different.
But what was the vibration? What were they doing to me, and why were they doing it?
Good question. Only you know. I don't know. That is a good question. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to our next line, wildcard line. You're on the air. Hi there. Hello.
George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Oh, that's me. Hey, I was calling about the trucker line there.
Yeah.
I was calling about a story I've heard for about almost 20 years that I've been driving about, like, it's an old hag that people see on U.S. Highway 78.
In U.S. Highway 78 in what state?
It's in Alabama.
Okay.
It's somewhere near Birmingham where this supposedly happened.
All right.
And I've heard, you know, several different versions of it. It's like, you know, it's always a trucker going down through there and they see like a wrecked car or something. And then they see her or, you know, whatever it is.
Have you seen her?
No, I haven't. But I have heard that story, like I said, for the past about 20 years that I've been out here.
Do you guys still talk on CB quite a lot?
Oh, quite a bit.
Yeah, is that still?
Only,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Only time I don't listen to it's when your show's on.
Well, good for you. But the CB is still a way for truckers to communicate, I guess, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Correct.
I used to have a CB, just audio. I couldn't transmit, and it was kind of neat. You drive across the country, and you know, you hear all kinds of things.
Oh Lord, yes.
And every once in a while, like a family will be there talking to them back and forth. It's kind of neat. But this whole hag story is all over the place. And what story of all of them you've heard? I mean, have you heard one that really chilled you with the old hag?
Well, usually what I hear is like it's a dark, rainy night. Like I'm in the Poconos Mountains of Pennsylvania, and it's a dark, rainy night. And it usually always starts out that way. And, you know, they see a car or a car wreck, and then, you know, they see her, and there's never nothing there when they check. They stop and, you know, check or call the police or something, and there's never nothing there. And I've heard that from hundreds, literally hundreds of people. And, you know, I've never personally experienced it, but I've heard it, you know, for almost 20 years now.
Are some of them relating the story, or are they actually coming upon the old hag while you're driving?
I believe both that I've heard. It's just an interesting story there that, you know, because I've heard it, and I've heard, you know, just different versions, but I've heard a lot of the similar things in them all.
Don't pick her up if you ever come across her.
Definitely not.
Just keep going. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yes, sir, George. Sure appreciate your show, and you drove a lot of miles with us out here.
Accident-free, too, I hope.
Yes, sir.
You got that right. Thanks. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah.
George.
Yes, sir.
This is John from Reading, Pennsylvania.
Hey, John.
You were talking last week about a video, Lady in White.
Yes, the movie. Yep.
Yes. I tried to pick up that video at every store that I went to. They said it's in the system, but they can't get it.
What do you mean they can't get it?
They said it's in the system, but they are not allowed to pick it up. I don't know why.
That's weird.
So what's my next option?
I have been told by several people, and I don't want to try to sell these, but if you need to find it, Amazon.com. A lot of people have been able to find it that way. You have a computer?
Yeah.
Or you can just go on Amazon.com. They'll probably get it to you within a week.
Okay.
I mean, they have a huge inventory, and I'm sure since we talked about it on this show, they're probably trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Why does everybody want this all of a sudden? But trust me, in terms of a recommendation, look at it one night by yourself with your loved ones, but just make sure you darken the room. It's a great movie, but it's really a spooky movie. It just, for me, it was chilling. It's got a great ending, but it was just one of those, it's not one of those movies like, you know, Freddy Krueger or anything like that. This is just a real good ghost movie.
Okay.
And definitely do it.
I like to hear.
And Amazon.com. You know, you go to Amazon.com, and on the left, you have a selection, books, things like that. There's a little one there that says DVDs, I think. You just click that, type in Lady in White, and order away. Have fun.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. It's strange, though, that you go to a video store, and he wasn't able to get it. Maybe there's been a run on him. I don't know. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. Where might you be?
I'm in Reno, the Cat's Paw.
Well, you're at the Cat's Paw.
No, you remember the motorhome cat paw story?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't want to scare that gal that just called a while ago, but my niece was having those same kind of symptoms.
Oh, really?
And when you have, if it's not a ghostly thing, if you have a smell thing like that, you can be having seizures.
You're kidding me.
No, and my niece was having exactly what she described, and she actually was having seizures, and she has a brain tumor.
Oh, my God.
So, like I said, I don't want to scare her, but maybe she should have that checked out.
Now, when you have the, you know, when you're smelling these fresh smells.
Well, it can be any smell, just particularly called an olfactory.
Okay, and when do you have the seizures?
Hallucination, it's called. And the seizure usually comes with that.
Well, she doesn't sound like she's had any problems there.
Well, that feeling that she had where it kind of started from her feet and went through her head.
Is that a symptom, you think?
That was what my niece was saying, too.
Same thing. All right,
yeah.
Well, let's not scare her, but you're right then. Maybe she should be checked out.
Well, and she actually had, my niece had one right in front of me, and she could smell this smell. And,
why do they smell something like that, and why is it a fresh smell?
Well, it can be any smell, but particularly, it's like seeing something that's not there, because it's done some, because the seizure has, or the tumor has done something to a certain part of your brain.
I have never heard this before.
But particularly an olfactory hallucination can be a sign of a brain problem.
Well, she called to see if she can get some help, so maybe that's what she needs to at least rule out.
Talk to her doctor about it for sure.
Okay, hey, thank you for calling.
You're very welcome. I hope I helped her.
Well, you know what? It's worth checking, you know, and let's hope it's nothing, but you never know. Let's go to our next line. Let's go to our trucker hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
Doing fine. Where might you be driving through?
Well, I'm just, I'm west of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I'm on the, traveling on the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Well, there you go. What are you hauling?
Just general commodities, general freight.
All right. And you, do you drive all the time? I mean, when do you ever, when do you rest?
Well, I run at what they call a dedicated run. I leave Pittsburgh every night about 8 o'clock. I run east out to Pennsylvania Turnpike, almost to Philadelphia, a drop and hook. That means dropping your trailer off at your terminal, pick another one up, and head straight back to Pittsburgh. 560-mile turn every night, 5 nights a week.
Well, we're number one in Pittsburgh. I got that today, and we're number one in Philadelphia. I got that earlier this week. So you folks out there, make Coast to Coast what it is. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you betcha.
So what kind of story do you have for us?
Well, George, believe it or not, as we speak, I'm traveling back west and right where I saw what I saw east one night about a year ago this time. It's right where Interstate 81 and the Pennsylvania Turnpike intersect, where the exit ramp gets off and the entrance ramp comes on. It's a big grassy triangle area. It's probably 100 feet by 100 feet, the triangular shape. And I saw what I thought was a hitchhiker standing off the shoulder of the road. Somebody hollered, "What's that?" And as I look at this, George, I saw the Grim Reaper.
You got to be kidding. You sure it was the Grim Reaper?
George, I swear to God, I know what I saw. I wasn't tired. I was fresh. I was only on the road 3 hours. It was not raining. It had rained. It wasn't raining at the time. He, just whatever it was standing about 10 feet off the shoulder of the road into the grass here. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, well, that's a strange place to be hitchhiking, because in the first place, pedestrians are not allowed on this Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Right. Easy way to get hit if a truck or a car goes off the road, huh?
No question. George, he wasn't standing there hitchhiking, but this thing, I'm telling you, George was dressed exactly like the Grim Reaper. Was tall, I'd say probably 250, 260 pounds, about 7 feet tall. It had the big hood. It did not have its thigh. You know how they always show it with a thigh?
Right.
A grass-cutting thigh?
Yeah.
They did not show that. But as I'm going by this, I'm looking at this thing, George, honest to God, the hair on the back of my neck stood up as it is right now, just thinking about it.
You don't think it was somebody's idea of a sick joke, do you?
Well, I think, why on the Pennsylvania Turnpike? Like I said, you're not even allowed on it.
I know it.
As a pedestrian.
I mean, if it was, it's some nutcase who was probably wandering around out there, but you never know.
Well, you do never know, but I could not see his face. I saw the mass of wood. And it was just black inside. I couldn't see any eyes or anything.
Did it look like it was trying to look at you or anything like that?
It was looking directly at the oncoming traffic, yes, sir.
And I assume other people, like you said, yelled, "What is that?" So
well,
you weren't alone, right?
Pardon me?
You weren't alone in seeing this thing.
No, I was not. Somebody else says, "What's that?"
Now, did you get on your CB after that and find out?
I did. I did exactly that. I said, if anybody wants to see the Grim Reaper, he's standing right at the Carlisle exit going east on the turnpike.
Did you get any more comments after that?
No response whatsoever.
That's something.
Strange, huh?
You got that right. Thanks.
Hey, George, appreciate it.
Okay,
enjoy,
buddy. Take care. The Grim Reaper. I hate to come across that. But you know what? You never know when we get all these incredible stories, you know, Bigfoot and the Grim Reaper. You know, you don't know if there's some wacko case out there dressed up in costume wandering around like that. I mean, which is not too smart to do nowadays, because you just never know. Somebody's going to pull out a gun or a shotgun or something and decide to take something into the matters into their own hands. You got to be very, very careful. Next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing? This is Jim from Idaho.
Hi, Jim.
Yeah. What I want to talk to is about, I was stationed in Antarctica here a while back.
Oh, that must have been chilling.
it was a great adventure, but
yeah.
It's interesting about what's happening with the ice shelf. I had the pleasure of doing my survival training with Dr. Jack Holt of the British Antarctic Survey.
Okay.
They're actually doing some research right now, serious research, about the possibility of Pine Island Glacier actually sliding off the ice shelf and into the ocean.
Now, that's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's not the really super concern, because they believe it's going to cause a chain reaction event if that one slides in.
Uh-oh.
And it was just amazing when I got a visit with him, because I stayed with him for about probably a week and a half, 2 weeks, stationed there, visiting before he left for his station. And he went off talking about how he believes that there's about probably like a 50 to 60% probability that it'll happen within the next 100 years or sooner.
Now, what did he say could happen if that occurs?
Well, he said the biggest thing is it's going to change the ocean currents if it happens. And not only that, but the other concern is raising the sea level.
I mean, is it like dropping ice cubes in a glass of water, for example?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But it was just amazing, you know, because the British Antarctic Survey is actually spending huge amounts of money trying to research this very possibility right now.
Did he say it was a cyclical thing, or did he blame this global warming on it?
Oh, he's a big supporter of the global warming theory.
Oh, he is. All right. And does he believe, though, it's man-made, global warming?
Talking about that, because I'm kind of mixed on that view myself.
I am. I don't think it's all man-made.
He had the attitude, he says, it's possible, but there's not enough evidence to really concrete that theory.
Next week, we're going to have a couple experts on again to talk about peak oil and global warming and their thoughts of all this, and their results will startle people. But is it melting away pretty fast out there?
Actually, down there, you really don't notice it too much. Like this last season, the McMurdo Sound actually never broke out because of B-15 iceberg.
Now, did you see anybody doing some work looking for some kind of underground city, underwater city?
We heard the rumor about a submarine that got some severe damage under the ice. But the question is, what were they doing there in the first place?
Hey, did you ever?
There's not supposed to be any nuclear-powered facilities below, I think it's, forget what degree it is.
Did you ever hear stories of UFOs down there or anything
oh,
like
yeah.
that?
Oh, yeah. There's a little joke that goes around. It's called Area 52. And on the other side of McMurdo Sound, there's theories in the wintertime you can actually see lights over there.
Do a lot of people believe in UFOs?
Oh, yeah.
Down there?
Definitely. And, I mean, aside from that, I mean, there's so much that goes on, like, just like with the avian flu going on right now, like you talked about earlier. Like a few of us, like me being included, we were given supposed flu shots, but instead of being in a normal, like, 100 to 150 person group, they singled about 20 of us out and gave us shots.
That's weird. Why?
Ironically, we were sick for a week after that. We were severely sick.
Yeah, but don't take those shots, but that's my opinion. Hey, we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast. Open lines continue. What a fast hour.